Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to Bitch Slap. This is Rachel Fisher.
This is Desi Jettingham.
And this is Melrose Place, Season 3, Episode... Desi, this is the first time I didn't write down the episode number.
It's called Holiday on Ice. I want to say like 13.
14?
Yeah, sorry. We'll put it in the title correctly.
We'll put it in the title, but this is Holiday on Ice. Now, I want to say at the top of this episode follows in a stupid tradition of Christmas episodes of television that do something that I hate. And that is... when a show breaks from reality and does a little magical realism for Christmas.
Right.
I hate that.
It's always a Christmas carol.
Or it's like some Christmas lesson. And then yeah. There's a little magical realism sprinkled in that completely breaks the laws of the universe of the show.
And we don't, on a soap opera, we don't want our villains learning a lesson.
No,
we want our villain staying villain.
Also, this is such bullshit because Amanda continues to be a bitch throughout the series. So this didn't even work.
And it goes, yeah. So it's just a little bleep for no reason.
It's pointless. I hate magical realism Christmas stories. I hate when it turns out some guy is secretly Santa Claus at the end of the episode.
And he's shh.
It's always the like guy with the white beard at the end winking to somebody.
No, it's very Hallmark movie. And, you know, that's its own separate genre. Don't bring it into us.
Don't bring it to Melrose Place.
Come on. So you don't need to do this on that show. We've already had dumb Thanksgiving episodes. Like, why does Melrose Place think they have to do these things too? They're not a sitcom.
We don't need to learn the meaning of Christmas on Melrose Place.
No, absolutely not.
We open at the hospital with Matt stomping over to Michael saying, why aren't you, were you planning on returning any of my pages? And Michael says, you can put away your Dick Tracy decoder ring. He's like, I know about the blood test results. I know that baby's Joe's. Who cares?
You can't prove anything.
And Matt,
it's like, well, actually, you can't.
Yeah. Matt's like, well, baby Cortez still is a birth record. So you better give that baby back. And then Michael's like, cut the sanctimonious crap. Joe's never going to get custody of this baby. And if Joe goes down, we all go down.
Classic Michael.
He has like zero empathy for Joe in this storyline.
No, he's even like, that baby can visit mommy in jail.
Yeah.
She dares come forward. Why? Like he truly, but that's the scary thing with Michael. He truly is willing to go down to take everyone down with him. He's too volatile that way. You got to believe you will.
And he's sort of just doing this for the principle of the thing. Because he doesn't actually give a shit about the baby.
No, it's almost just to like, the principle, but also just to win.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like it's his principle.
Yeah.
not that it's a principled stance he's taking.
No, because as we'll see, he turns on a dime.
It's just what's convenient for him.
Yeah.
And right now having Kimberly on his good side is convenient.
Absolutely.
Because she's too unhinged. Amanda storms into Peter's office at the hospital and she's furious because last episode we saw Peter's dark side and she's like, calling him out. She's like, you threaten me, Peter. And he goes, I realize I was a bit heavy-handed, Amanda. And she's like, I'm going to file a complaint with my lawyer. And if you ever harass me again, I'll slap you with a lawsuit so big it'll make your head spin.
Unfortunately, this makes him rock hard.
Yeah, he gets so horny.
Like, this is so frustrating as a woman when you're trying to lean into a guy like this and put him in his place and it just makes him hornier. You're like, no, no.
Don't
like,
get horny.
Stop it.
She is like, cross me again and I'll see you in court.
Yeah. And he's like, you're so sexy. You're so sexy when you threaten to sue me.
And then we get the credits. After the credits, it is Christmas time. We get a montage of LA decorated for Christmas. And a really dumb Christmas song playing. And at D&D, they're having a daytime Christmas party.
There's hors d'oeuvres. There was one guy. Did you see that one guy who was really shoving food in his mouth, like an extra? I was like, he's going for it.
He's going for it. And Billy's also shoveling cookies in his mouth.
Yeah.
Billy's eating what looks like a really dry Christmas cookie.
I know those cookies.
They're gross.
With like the sprinkles that are kind of melted into them.
And they just taste like dyes.
Yeah.
Billy is wearing his denim shirt with a red plaid tie.
Yeah.
He's got to get rid of this shirt.
He needs a wardrobe update.
This shirt has made so many appearances in season three, and it is unacceptable.
He's VP of accounts now.
Why is he wearing a chambray shirt to work?
No.
He's like shoving a cookie in his mouth when Amanda enters and is like, who authorized this party? Billy's like, come on, it's a morale booster. And she's like, close it down.
Close it down. People need to be working. We are losing accounts.
Yeah.
Like, she's full on Ebenezer. Because there's zero reason to be mad about this.
Yeah, she just doesn't want anyone to have fun. And Billy's like, well, Amanda, you have to go to rehab at 2 to visit Allison.
She's irritated.
She's like, cancel it. And he's like, Amanda, this is important to Allison's recovery.
This is not a topic she's happy with, period. And on top of that, she has to go in.
And she wants Allison fired anyway. She's like mad that legally she can't fire her.
She's like waiting for that day. Yeah. I like the idea though that you can't legally fire them in rehab, but you can the day they get out. Right. What is the timeline here?
Right. So there's a woman waiting for Amanda in her office, and it's Donna Teller, which sounds like a sounds like a guy with the Long Island accent saying Donatello.
Look, Donatello.
Yeah.
It's totally, I love Donatello Versace.
It's my favorite Ninja Turtle, Donatello.
It's so true.
It's Bruce's sister. And she's like, we met at the funeral. And Amanda's like, oh, right. She's like bored of this lady already.
I was shocked she went to the funeral. I guess she kind of had to. Did no one else see the note? I'm sorry. That's kind of what I was wondering during this episode, especially.
She must have ripped it up.
Yeah.
And took that note to her grave.
I think
so. Except Peter obviously knew about it. But yeah, I doubt if anyone else had seen that note, she would have been able to go to the funeral without being completely ostracized.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So she definitely just went for appearances. Anyway, Donna Teller is crying and Amanda's being so rude. She's like, what do you want?
Yeah. Are you here for a reason?
And she's like, Bruce's kids were left with nothing and they need money for college. They can't afford their tuition. And Amanda's like, I don't know what I can do. And she's like, you know, Bruce has, he made his own debt. It's his fault.
He should have thought of that before he offed himself.
Right. That's like basically what she says. And she's like, he has substantial personal loans that can never be repaid and I'm not going to help. And Donna is like, well, I guess our problems aren't your problems anymore.
And you know that she's the good person because she's like, Merry Christmas, Amanda.
Oh, like, God.
Like, even under those circumstances, she's still like going to wish Amanda a Merry Christmas.
It's so irritating. At the beach house, Michael is hauling a Christmas tree into the living room and Kimberly's with the baby and she wants to decorate the tree. And he's like, he's not going to know Christmas. Like Michael doesn't want to be decorating a Christmas tree and she wants to play Christmas family time.
Right. And Michael's completely hilarious because he's like, he's not even going to remember. Who gives a shit? Like, why are we doing all this? The tree's expensive. Like,
yeah. And Kimberly and Michael says to Kimberly, I just don't want us getting too attached to this baby.
He already knows what's coming down the pike. Like,
and Kimberly's like, Joe will get over it.
Insane.
Which is also an insane thing to say. At rehab, Amanda is walking down the hallway with Allison, and she is like openly trashing rehab in front of everyone. She's like, $12,000 for a month of psychobabble. Too bad we couldn't write it off as severance pay.
And she calls it Pity Me Pines.
Yeah, she calls the rehab center Pity Me Pines. And Allison's like, Amanda, why'd you even come? And she's like, legally, I can't fire you while you're sequestered here at Pity Me Pines, but don't plan on making a career at D&D.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this law is, but...
And so she leaves, and Terry approaches Allison and is like, let me guess, that was Amanda.
I love that she talks about Amanda in therapy.
I know. She talks about Amanda and Billy.
I mean, she must sound unhinged.
That she's like her boss.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, if Amanda was your boss, that would be super traumatizing.
I agree. But it's like she has to say things that happened on Melrose Place in therapy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like so unhinged.
I know. Meanwhile, Matt and Jeffrey, of course, the two saints, they're carrying big boxes of donations into a hospital that treats men with HIV and AIDS. And Jeffrey is really unsettled by this experience. And he kind of like leaves. He like gets out of there. Like he looks right. Shaken up by this, by seeing these men who are sick.
Like it's his future.
Right.
Yeah.
And he does tell Matt that he feels like a bit of a disconnect being there between him and these men because he doesn't feel sick at all.
Right.
But these are men who are in like more advanced stages. Some of them are.
And I don't blame them. That's probably really hard to see.
Right. Sydney shows up at Jane's. This is the one Sydney and Jane scene in this
episode. Why are we even seeing this? Do you know what I mean? It's so unnecessary.
It's a very pointless setup scene.
I was just going to say, do we even see Jake this episode? But we do at the very end.
Once.
But yeah, it's like this episode really cuts out a lot of people.
Yeah, it really does. So Sydney shows up at Jane's because Dad wants to talk to her on the phone. And Sydney's like, that man signed me into a mental institution. I don't want to talk to him. And Jane's like, Sydney, he needs your forgiveness.
This is so irritating. Didn't she try to get her to go home for Thanksgiving too?
Yes.
I just like, I don't give a shit.
They want to go home. She wants Sydney to go home to Chicago with her for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so Sydney reluctantly takes the phone and she's like, I'm sorry, Dad. I can't make it home this year. And then the dad's like, well, the dog had puppies. And Sydney's like, Digby had puppies? And that kind of changes it for her.
Here's another thing I hate about this episode. It puts all the storylines we're following at a complete standstill.
Yes.
And like, it's like, what happened to Chris? What you know what I mean? It's like, what's going on? Like, none of these storylines we've been following are anything's happening this episode, except for like the Kimberly, I guess. But like... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That there's a lot of stuff I want to see.
Right.
And not like this fucking homecoming thing or going back to Chicago.
Yeah, whatever. Basically, Sydney just has like a heartfelt conversation on the phone with her dad where she's stifling tears and forgiving him. And she's like, I know you didn't do it on purpose. You're trying to help. And then Jane tells Sydney, please come home.
Also, it's like, wasn't Jane literally... Didn't she just hate Sydney for the whole Vegas thing? Because she was like, Jake, watch out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like, why is Jane so invested?
Yeah. And then what's even crazier is she's like, go pack, Sydney. And it's like, well, wait a minute. How's she going to get a plane ticket like now? Right.
On Christmas time.
It's going to be like $1,000.
You are broke.
And you're not going to sit together. Yeah. You just got all your money stolen.
I mean, yeah. I don't get it. Who gives a shit?
So later that night, Amanda is asleep and she's coughing. This is the first we know of her being sick.
I was like, is she like, why is she coughing?
She's coughing, and there's lightning and thunder sound effects, and she's tossing and turning. And that's when Bruce appears in her room wearing a black turtleneck. He looks like Steve Jobs. He's wearing his Issey Miyake turtleneck.
And I feel like he wasn't wearing glasses either, glasses. So he's like, I'm hotter in heaven, not prison.
Yeah, in heaven, I don't have to wear glasses.
No.
So he goes, hello, Amanda. And then he's like, why didn't you give my sister the money for my children? And he's like, you misled Donna. What? He's like, I wouldn't have killed myself if it wasn't for you. You're the reason I killed myself.
Yeah. He just lays it out.
And he's like, there's money for me at D&D. And she's like, stop it. It wasn't my fault. And she's like, you're not even here. You're a dream. I got a fever. And then he pulls down his turtleneck. I guess that's why he's wearing a turtleneck. And he's like, look, Amanda. And he shows his rope burn from the noose. And he goes, touch it, Amanda.
I was like, what is this, David Cronenberg? It's so gross.
And she starts reaching out to touch Bruce's rope burn. She snapped awake.
This was wild.
And then the next day, she's sick as hell. She's on the couch.
It would have benefited them to have her going home sick.
Yes.
Like, because it really comes out of nowhere. Not that it matters, even this story is so stupid, but it's like, we really don't know that she's sick. It's weird.
It's just something about it is a little too jarring.
All you had to do was just place one little line, like, I'm going home, I'm sick. I don't feel good. That's it.
One cough.
Yeah.
One cough while she's in the office. So there's a knock at her door and it's Peter. And he's like, our plane leaves in an hour. And she's like rolling around on the couch looking like shit. And she's like, you think we're taking a vacation together? And he's like, I'm sorry, Amanda. I was just afraid of losing you.
He's like getting her orange juice.
Yeah. And he says, raiding corporations isn't a very relaxing or romantic endeavor.
I love how every episode his villain voice gets even more villainy.
Yeah, it's like, so over the top.
He doesn't talk like a normal person anymore.
No, and then he gives her a giant gift box. And he's like, here, Amanda, I got you a gift.
I like that I'm so raised in the 80s and 90s that I immediately knew what that box was.
Yeah. She opens it and it is a giant brown mink fur coat.
It's the floppiness of it is how you know it's a fur coat because it always is that white box with the red ribbon.
Yes.
And it's kind of bulging on the opening.
Yeah. And it's just like a very classic, basic old rich bitch mink coat. And she's like, wow. And he's like, now get plenty of rest and fluids. We'll leave for Lake Tahoe as soon as you're feeling better.
Yeah, so that's where they're going, their big vacation, Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. So he leaves, and on the way out, he runs into Matt. And Matt is like, Dr. Burns, do you have a minute? I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. And that friend is Joe. And I was very happy that Matt was like, I'm going to be fucking proactive in this situation. No one else is like doing anything about this. This is crazy.
I know. I was kind of shocked too, like in a good way. I was like, yeah, finally.
Finally. So he brings Peter over to Joe's apartment and she spills everything. And she's like, I just want my baby back.
And Peter, like, first of all, this is a lot to deal with if you're going away in an hour. Because how do you even go away when you hear this kind of information, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's living because he's been looking to take down Michael and Kimberly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and now he's got the goods.
Yeah. Back at rehab, Allison is reading a book on a bench and Billy rolls up and she's so excited to see him and they hug. He's like, I brought you a Christmas present. And it's a music box. And she's like, oh, Billy, it's our music box.
Wait, is that the one he bought her that she gave back to him in a really mean way?
Yes.
When he left the apartment and we were like, what the hell?
Yeah. 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 And she's like so happy and he's like, I'm proud of you, Elvin. And then she like, she's like seems drugged in this scene. She's so like way too zen or something.
Yeah, she's like, Billy. Just like, first of all, how are you not like, where's Susan?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know that Susan and Billy broke up yet, right?
No, if that was me, I'd be like, what about Susan? And then when he said we broke up, I'd be like, oh my God, tell me everything.
But she's like, it's like, is she on fucking like pink? Like what's going on? No. She just seems kind of like low key.
She's like zanned out.
Yeah. And it's like, that would have been like one of them. I would have subtly tried to find out what was going on.
You know
Susan.
What? She seems like they put her on like a high dose of Seroquel. That's what it seems okay. like. You always get Seroquel in rehab.
It's like a calming thing?
It's a sleep medication, but it's also sometimes used for like an antidepressant.
Got it.
No,
she doesn't seem like herself.
It's not a narcotic.
Right.
Or a benzo, but it can have like a weird effect on you. Anyway, I think she's like Seroquel'd out in this moment. So she says, sobriety is very weird. Everything just becomes so clear. And she's like, they have like a little moment and they're like, I loved you. I loved you too.
I would have been like, well, why are you saying it in the past tense?
And then she's like, this Billy, she's like, this is supposed to be our first Christmas together as husband and wife.
Why does it seem like so much longer ago?
It seems like,
it's like that wasn't
10
2
years
ago.
Like, it seems so long ago that she jumped out of that window. They have a big deep hug and Terry is like lurking in the background. He sees them hugging and he looks sad.
Yeah. He doesn't want this.
He does not want this. Should we take a break?
Sure.
Here? Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
That night, the complex is all lit up for Christmas.
It looks cute.
It looks really nice. It is like wall-to-wall lights.
Did Amanda do that?
Who did this? Amanda has another dream, and Bruce is back. And he's like, makes her put on the fur coat. Because he's like, we're going on a little trip. You're going to need this fur coat.
Yeah.
So first, they go to the past. And we see little Amanda in her parents' living room.
Mandy.
And fucking Palmer Woodward is in this scene.
He's back.
He's back. And he's with some slut.
That's what I wrote. And she's truly a 1940s 60s. Tramp. Like, the way she's acting, though, she's like smacking gum.
Well, the way she's acting is like a stereotypical gangster's mall. But the way she's dressed is like a go-go dancer.
Yeah, it's very weird, but that actress makes the most of her little role.
She's smacking gum. She's blowing bubble gum in the background.
She's obviously much younger.
This is Palmer's mistress. So this scene is basically all about how Amanda was provided for by her father, but not emotionally.
Right, because she's got tons of presents.
And he's like, Daddy has to go away on a little trip, Amanda.
I also love that they just cast the same actor.
Oh, yeah. They just like dyed his hair or they made his hair darker for the scene.
Yeah. It's just very funny because he's so old.
I'm glad they cast the same actor because we get to hear him go, Daddy, sweetheart, Daddy has to go away for a little bit. You'll be okay.
Oh my God.
And little Amanda's crying.
Yeah.
Because she's like, but it's Christmas.
This is her villain origin story.
So dumb. And so Amanda comforts little Mandy, and then she wakes up. Back at the hospital, Peter confronts Michael in his office, and he's like, this afternoon I met a woman named Jo Reynolds. She claimed you and Dr. Shaw stole her baby.
Sorry, imagine. It's like, ah, oh, shit.
What an insane thing to say to somebody.
Yeah.
And Michael's like, oh, come on.
He's just...
Who cares? He's like, come on.
She's crazy.
Yeah. He's like, let me... Okay, I can explain that.
Yeah.
And he explains, and Peter's not buying his story. And he goes, shut up, Mancini.
I laughed out loud when he said that because I was like, that must feel great.
Yeah. And he's like, you better give that baby back because this is...
I'm not having it in my hospital.
Yeah. I'm not having any baby theft happening.
The way they're so casual about this is funny. Like,
no, it's so unserious. They're acting like he's acting like this is on the same level as like you and Dr. Shaw were seen kissing in public.
Right.
It's like that level of like, this is unprofessional.
No. Any other chief of staff or whatever his fucking job is, chief of surgery, would be like calling the cops.
Would be A, calling the cops. Yeah. And be like
doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing and be like, you're fired and we're doing a full internal investigation.
Right. Because you're protecting the hospital.
Yeah. There's no way that he would just be like, handle it.
Yeah. Just want this done by lunch. This can't get out.
Yeah. So the next day at the beach house, Kimberly is whining to Michael. She's like, oh, I got called in to pull a double shift on Christmas Eve. How could this happen? It's like, we all know Michael made this happen.
Right.
And Michael's like, I don't know. I don't know who could have done that.
Yeah.
And Michael's like, because she's whining about the baby not having Christmas Eve and Christmas with them. And he's like, oh, he doesn't know the difference. He's a baby.
Who gives a shit? We'll just do both the same day.
And so she says goodbye to Michael Jr. and Michael. That night at Matt's apartment, Jeffrey bought Matt a ton of presents. And Matt is like, wow, Jeffrey, I mean, the wok, the bread maker, the sport coat.
This is like so 90s. A bread maker.
It's so good. He's like, Jeffrey, this is too much. And he's like, well, you didn't check your stocking, Matt.
And it's the saddest stocking.
It's like a very thin little stocking. And he opens it and there's a cruise to the Bahamas. And Matt is like, Jeffrey, why are you doing this? And he's like, Matt, I followed orders for 10 years in the Navy. That's how Jeffrey sounds.
Yeah.
I followed orders for 10 years in the Navy and I'm... tired of it. They tell me when to eat, when to take a shit.
They're not going to tell me when to buy you a cruise.
And Matt is like, this is crazy. Blowing your savings on a trip to the Bahamas.
He wants to see Jeffrey's bank statements because he's like, you can't afford this.
Yeah. And Jeffrey's like, what do you want to see? My bank statements? You asking to see my bank statements? And he's like, future. This is my future, Matt. I'm going to be like those guys in the hospital.
I mean, to be honest, Matt should just accept it and they should go on a cruise. Like,
because you know what? This is how Jeffrey's handling this situation. And Matt has tried to make him handle the situation in a different way. And he's given him and shown him love. But like Jeffrey, this is how Jeffrey wants to handle this.
Also, there's nothing wrong with maybe wanting to have some memories and go out with some fun things before you possibly get sick, right? Like,
right.
This might be his last opportunity to go on a cruise and have fun.
When he feels well.
Yeah, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I also just think Matt should... It's like, Matt, you of all people deserve to go on a vacation.
Absolutely.
Just go on a vacation.
And Jeffrey even is like, I got your PTO set up.
Like, right.
You got your vacation days.
That night, Amanda has another dream. And Bruce is back. And this time he's taken her to see her Christmas future. Honestly, they did a really piss poor job at this Christmas Carol storyline because we go to like only two places.
Yeah, they skipped right to future.
But it was like future after she died. It's like, I want to see a future with Amanda being 50 years old.
Right.
And people, and like, I want to see her alive.
Or like, it would be fun to see the future that they say happened.
Yes, like, that's what I mean. Like,
to get this scene where Peter kills her.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, which or, seems to be what they're insinuating.
Or that she's just alienated everybody and that he has a mistress and then he eventually kills her on a in a skiing right. accident.
Yeah, they're basically like, here we are at like Spirit Halloween graveyard.
No, this is like they had no budget for this episode and didn't want to like...
Why did they do this?
This was so annoying. So he takes her to a graveyard. They really went all out with the fog machine. It really is Spirit Halloween.
It's so on a set. Like,
and Amanda's having a nighttime funeral and no one is there. She's just getting like buried in the middle of the night.
Right. Like she's an unidentified body.
This would never happen. No. And like even... There are so many dickbags in the world, like genuinely evil people who still have people show up to their funerals.
Well, all of Melrose Place would have gone.
Yeah.
But they didn't show us what she did to not make them go. Do right. you know what I mean? Like
right.
at this point, even fucking Allison would probably have showed up.
She's like, what happened to me? And then Bruce says, well, your husband, Peter, told the authorities that you died in a tragic skiing accident. If you can believe that story. And she's like, where are my friends? And he's like, what friends? Peter's off with his mistress right now. And she's like, I can't die all alone. Someone must care. And Bruce is like, doesn't have to end this way, Amanda. There's another side to you. But you have to get rid of Peter. She's like, I can't get rid of Peter. And he's like, you have to get rid of Peter before he destroys you. And you have the tools to do it. And then that's the end of A Christmas Carol storyline. She wakes up bathed in a golden light, like she's changed.
She's like, yeah. She's going to start handing out Christmas hams.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Right, like running out into yeah. the street in her pajamas. So Michael drops the baby off at Joe's in the middle of the night. And he goes, Merry Christmas, Joe. Have a nice life.
Here's your baby. Stay the hell out of our lives. Wait, why is he saying stay the hell out of our lives as if she has wanted to be in their lives?
Right.
It's so unceremonious, too, where he just dumps the baby off. I was like, did you give her formula? Does she have food?
Like, it's so dumb. The next day, Amanda shows up at Bruce's house to deliver a present. And... this is like a very sad scene. It's just Bruce's sister with his two children.
I think that's her house, the sister's house.
Well, it's a big house. Why doesn't she help with tuition?
It's a big, just because we saw Bruce's weird house before.
That's true. They're like having like the saddest Christmas dinner, but it's like the middle of the day. They're just like sullenly eating food.
The scene is so weird because the two sons don't even seem like they look over. I was like, is this also a dream? Happening.
No, they look like they're just like staring at their plates.
It's bizarre.
It's so bizarre. And Amanda's like, I'm sorry. And she gives Bruce's sister a check. She's like, here's some money for your nephew's college tuition.
She's like, just say Bruce set it up.
Yeah. And then at rehab... Wait, back at Melrose Place, this is Jake's one scene. She drags Jake into her apartment. And she goes, look what I got for Christmas, Jake.
Why,
my baby.
Why is she still there?
She should have got that
baby and immediately fucking left town.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get.
No.
And she's just like, we're going to hang out and not let anyone see the baby. Like,
she's so dumb.
She's so dumb.
Also, people are going to hear the baby crying. You're in an apartment.
I just don't know why she hasn't gotten the hell out of there already. Like,
she's
it's crazy.
She's a dumbass. Mm. And Joe's like, cool. I mean, Jake is like, cool. She's like, you can't tell anyone my baby's back.
Okay, Joe.
At rehab, Amanda drops by because now she's got to make amends to Allison. Mm. And she interrupts Allison's process group. And she's like, I'm sorry, Allison. And just so you know, whenever you're ready to come back at D&D, your job is there. And Allison's like, wow, Amanda, thank you.
I've never been burned by this before.
Yeah. And she's like, God, I wish there was a rehab for my personal demons.
That's so real.
And so everything's right. Everything's all forgiven.
Yeah. Amanda has fixed everything.
At the hospital, Jeffrey drops by to talk to Matt. And he's like, Matt, I made a big mistake last night. And Matt's like, it's okay. We can work this out. And he's like, no. Leaving you wasn't a mistake. This was so mean. He's like, I just left you for the wrong reasons, Matt.
That's brilliant, though. Like, the leaving wasn't the mistake, but what I said to you was wrong. What it actually was, like, just insane.
And he's like, and Matt's like, Jeffrey, you said you were willing to make a commitment. He's like, yeah, I guess not. But we can be friends, though. If Matt just takes it, he's like, okay. And then they hug.
Matt, poor Matt.
That's what I wrote.
Just like, I don't even know what to say anymore.
If I was Matt, I would have been like, can we just fuck casually?
Can we just go on the cruise still, I guess? Yeah. Now that I don't have to care about your future.
Can we go on the cruise and then I can cruise for other guys on the cruise?
Yeah.
That night, Kimberly returns home and is like, Michael, where's the baby? And he's like, too bad, Kimberly. I told Joe everything. He's like, Joe told Peter everything and he threatened to fire us.
Sorry.
I had to get the baby back. And she's like, Michael. And she's losing it. And she starts throwing stuff.
She throws the bassinet.
And it bounces. And then she's like, freaking out, pulling at her hair, losing her mind. And she opens the sliding glass door and just like runs outside and then runs out onto the beach. And it's nighttime and she runs into the ocean and it is cold outside. This is December in Malibu. That is freezing. She
is totally like Norman Maine. Like she's going to swim into the ocean and die. Like that's a wild way to kill yourself. I'm sorry. Like, how do you do that?
No, she just starts, and she's like swimming. She's swimming in the ocean.
She's swimming out into the ocean. It's nighttime. She's fully clothed.
Like, right.
And he has to go after her. And you know, Michael's like, God damn it. Like, he's like, ugh. Like,
he can't stand it. He's got to go in after Kimberly and he grabs her and she's like, oh, and she tries to wrestle away, but he's got her and he's got to drag her back inside now.
Yeah. Soaking wet.
It's really dumb. Meanwhile, back at, what is it called? Shady Oak Pines.
Shady Pines.
Shady Pines. The rehab facility.
Twin Oaks. Yeah.
They're having Christmas dinner. There's really nothing sadder than Christmas dinner at rehab.
Yeah, it's pretty grim.
Because that food's very mid.
I know, especially for Christmas. They're going to try to do something.
They're going
to
try.
It's going to be so, like, it's going to hit so low.
It's going to.
It's like it's going to miss the mark so hard.
It's going to miss the mark so hard. It's not going to be good. Terry, like,
just give me a hamburger.
Yeah, just like, let's get takeout.
Yeah.
Let's just get pizzas.
I don't need traditional food if it's going to suck.
And so Terry grabs Allison and is like, I need to talk to you. He's like, are you going back to Billy?
Ugh.
And Allison's like, I don't know yet. We just have a long history together.
It's kind of sad to me that Allison's already on the trajectory of like wanting to get back together with him.
Yeah, focus on your rehab.
Yeah, like you shouldn't be hanging out with fucking Terry, period. But you definitely shouldn't be thinking of going back into this relationship that was so troublesome until you kind of get more healthy.
Both of them are also making like such a classic rehab mistake where you fall in love with someone or you think you fall in love with someone at rehab. And because both of you are essentially two broken people who found each other and have something like so deep in common that you have an experience with that. And you think it's like real love, but
they're
it's
trauma
not.
Bonding.
They're trauma bonding together. It rarely happens. And when it does happen, it never works out in the end. I'm sure there are exceptions, but like you don't, I'm just saying it's very difficult to meet your soulmate in rehab.
Well, and just wait. If it's soulmate, it'll be there a year later.
Right. Not to mention the fact that like they should not be having any kind of physical or romantic relationship while they're in treatment.
No, it's and like the fact not
that
allowed.
And the fact that the treatment facility hasn't caught on to this yet is crazy.
Yeah, because they're not really hiding it.
They're not hiding it at all. They're like making out in hallways. This is so wrong.
Yeah.
This place should be shut down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Terry is like, you're not normal, Allison. No one knows your pain like I do. And he's like, I'm falling in love with you. He's like, come on, Allison. You told me things you would never tell Billy.
Like what? I'm curious what Allison has revealed in therapy.
Yeah, I want to know too.
Yeah.
And then they just start making out
because they're under the mistletoe, which means they're even more in public.
Why they shouldn't have mistletoe at a rehab. That's so inappropriate. That's so fucking inappropriate.
Also, mistletoe in and of itself is problematic at this point. Like just in general, it's like, come on.
I mean, I think it's very problematic for a rehab setting. Why are you encouraging people making out with each other at rehab? Yeah.
But I was shocked because Allison goes with it. Like when he kisses her, I kind of thought she was going to back away and she didn't.
I don't remember what happens with this storyline.
I don't either.
I do remember being bored with it though.
I mean, I already am.
Because it doesn't go anywhere interesting.
It's just nothing. It's just nothing.
Bring back the Chris storyline. We need to see Chris.
Wait, where's Chris?
Where is he?
I hope they don't forget to tell us what happened.
No, they definitely do.
Okay.
Something crazy happens. I do remember.
That's my memory, but now I'm kind of like, well, where is he?
He is a good villain. Like, he has been a very entertaining villain.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
So, hopefully next week we'll get some more closure.
We need closure.
We
need
Chris closure. Anyway, back at the beach house, Kimberly is in her gold satin robe making a phone call. And it's to the Carters. Reed's mom picks up and she's like, hello.
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 She's like in her fucking Christmas pajamas.
Yeah, she's in her Vermont country store.
I like how we saw the outside of their house too. And they had all these like blow up decor.
Yeah.
Like reindeer and shit. Like she just always has that up.
Right. And Kimberly's like, hi, you don't know me, but I'm about to give you a wonderful Christmas present. Your baby is still alive and I know where it is.
That was so wrong of her.
She's so, honestly, at this point, I don't even feel sympathy for Jo because she's such a moron.
That's true.
I do think, look, do I think what happened to Jo is fair? Absolutely not. Do I think Jo is a moron? Yes.
She should have gone already.
Like, she should have ran.
Yeah.
She should have ran. And Kimberly is still a monster for this.
It's just so, because it's like if you love the baby, you don't want them with the grandparents either. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, Kimberly doesn't love the baby. She loves the idea of having a baby.
Yeah.
Because she's so empty inside.
But I'm glad she created this chaos. We need people like Kimberly.
We need the Kimberlys and the Amandas.
They push the stories forward.
To push the stories forward. Look, this episode was like so mid. I can't even think of like off the top of my head a Christmas episode in a network show that I have been like, that was a great episode. They're generally stupid.
I think the only time it can ever work is where it's literally not themed in any way. It just happens to be Christmas and they're not, do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
it's not like a forefront of the story. Well, like it could play into storylines that are going on in a natural way, I think. Yeah. But I don't like a special episode.
No, especially when it's like if you're going to use Christmas as a backdrop and a theme of the show, make it about the very real stresses of Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas is like already there's so much drama to pull from around Christmas. There's family fighting.
Real stuff. Yeah.
Real stuff that actually is drama. You don't have to invent shit like these tired ass Christmas Carol storylines that we see every fucking time.
Yeah. We don't need to see like Urkel, like a Family Matters Christmas Carol. Right. And they could have done like, they could have done some cool Christmas stuff. Like with the baby, even like deliver the baby. Maybe she delivers the baby to the Carters, like for Christmas or something.
Like, wait, who delivers him?
Like maybe Michael's like, yeah, I'll return the baby. Like whatever. Like they could have brought that as a Christmas story, or like maybe Sydney.
How's
goes,
that Christmas?
Because they're giving the baby, like they gave it to Joe for Christmas, like a present.
Oh, like a present.
Yeah, like they wrap the baby in a box and put it on the front doorstep. Oh, I don't know. God. Like there could have been more dramatic. Or like Sydney goes and ruins Christmas. Like that could have been a funny episode.
I mean, we've all had a family member ruin Christmas before, right? So don't we go with stuff that's based in reality?
I just don't need that kind of episode from Melrose, period. It's not the type of show for it, unless you're going to continue the storylines and it's going to connect somehow. Like,
yeah,
I just don't. And like you said, Amanda doesn't change.
No.
So this is a completely pointless episode.
She does way more awful things in this series.
Or do a Christmas horror episode where they're on vacation in Tahoe and someone's trying to kill them.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Escape Santa. And, like whatever. Like wait, like
that, an insane Santa.
Yeah, like I don't care. Like I can see a fun Christmas
episode. Do a Black Christmas send up.
But Christmas Carol, we don't need that anymore.
We're done.
That should be banned.
A Christmas Carol storyline should be banned from all media going forward. We've seen enough. We've seen enough.
I just don't want to see it.
I don't
care.
It's
never interesting.
So we all know what happens. The person realizes they've made a grave error in how they've lived their life. Whatever. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Give me some drama.
Like, I'd rather see Bruce's sons go after Amanda.
That would have been cool.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I like the idea that she gets taken to task for what she did to Bruce, but I just don't like this way.
I think it would have been a cool storyline if Bruce's sons snapped, like both of them snapped, and they were trolling her on Christmas and sending like packages full of like creepy shit, like a dead rat. Or like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. Christmas presents full of like, I don't know, severed finger or something.
And she thinks it's someone taunting her. And then at the end, she finds out it's Bruce's sons. And she's like, it's fine.
No.
Like she lets them off the hook.
And that's her Christmas spirit.
Like, or you know what would have been really good? If one of Bruce's sons moved into Melrose Place and Amanda didn't know.
Yeah.
Or got a job at D&D.
And starts sabotaging.
Yeah.
I would have loved that. I would have loved one of Bruce's sons to get a job at D&D.
They really dropped the ball on that Bruce storyline. Because it is such a good thing to own Amanda's ass with. Because she does feel guilty.
Yeah. Because that is like her Achilles heel at this point.
She did something really fucked up.
Right.
And she can't deny it.
No.
Like,
no.
But yeah. This was not it.
No, and she thinks it's all forgiven by giving a check. And she even says, the check won't cover everything. So it's not even a big enough check.
Well, they are going to expensive schools.
I know, but it's like she thinks that that's going to fix her, you know.
Right. Also, she's letting Allison come back. But it's like you might legally be obligated to. So I don't know that that's also really a gift to Allison. Like,
yeah, and her apologies also are so watery and stupid anyway.
I don't even want Amanda to apologize. I want her not to apologize ever. Like, I don't need to see an Amanda redemption storyline.
No, but like, we do want to see someone attempting to get revenge on her.
Absolutely. I like someone going after her vulnerable spots for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, Kimberly's unhinged enough to go after Amanda. Look, I don't know. I don't remember what else, like details of what happened in this series. So we'll find out.
No, and it's always kind of fun to see. You're like, oh, like
that.
When I have that memory of a thing. And I'm excited because even though this was a lull in the road, season three goes off the hook.
I mean, it already is.
It's already been a great season. Yeah, but it gets crazier.
It does. I mean, and we still have Brooke coming soon.
Brooke is coming. We have Peter's ex coming. There's a lot.
Mm.
She creates some havoc.
Yeah, she does. Well, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.